But I hope I will be the most and oldest preacher that you have had in this church. The Lord has given my wife and I a privilege of founding the Chinese church in San Francisco, and still going, and still going strong. We praise the Lord for it. And the reason we were here is that we were asked to be the senior interim pastor for the OCM in New York City. And the Lord has allowed us to finish our mission, and we sold our place in California. We could not go back there. As you probably know, once you sold, and you can only buy back a bathroom when with the kind of money that we have now. But New Jersey, still affordable. And here we are. We found your church to be a very interesting church. And we pray that the Lord will help us to bring our experiences to help you, and to say, some of these mistakes that we went through, you don't have to go through. Some of the good things that help us to grow, and you can grow too. As the Lord has allowed us to transmit our lives to you, I pray that your prayer will uplift us into a mission ministry that will bring glory to God. Some of you are very young, but I'm sure you can do something for me. Can you, each of you, lift your hand up, reach to the sky as far as you can? Alright? Alright, is that all you can do? Okay, how about reach more? Alright, thank you. You know what I have just found? You can do more than what you could do. And that is something what the book of Thessalonians is teaching me. 8 weeks ago, my wife and I had the privilege of having a study tour in Greece. And the study tour is following the footsteps of Paul. And the third stop we had was into the city of Thessalonica. And today, in the Greek word, the Thessalonica is called Thessaloniki, because Thessalonia is named after Alexander the Great's wife. The Great. Actually, it's his half-sister. His father had more than two wives. Isn't it funny that you don't think you will marry your sister? But he found her to be very such a beauty. And he even named the important city of Thessalonica, named after her, Therma. It's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful city that we did tour, and that city twice. First we went through it, and then secondly we get back there, have another night of stay. But what is Thessalonica? It's a seaport. It's a commercial center and a cultural center. You know, it also has a city. At that time, half of the population come from Jewish descent. So they, with that intellectual and economic power, the church has the influence both in Asia as well as in Europe. It's an important city. It's a city with vital connections between Europe and Asia. A while ago, you have finished, probably you have remembered the reading of this chapter. A chapter actually need to back up by pointing out to Acts chapter 17. I wonder how many of you have studied Acts chapter 17, a beautiful chapter. I would like to remind you, in chapter 17 of Paul of Acts, it says that Paul passed through Amphipolis and Apollonius, and they came to Thessalonica, verse 1.
where there was a Jewish synagogue. And as a custom, wherever Paul went, he started with the old faith into Jewish synagogue and minister to the chosen people. And you think that would be something that they welcomed. Because he, again, pointed out to them the importance of returning to God. But it's not true. It's not true because they thought he was introducing something new. He's not really introducing something new to their faith. He's trying to connect their faith, the today's faith, with yesterday's faith. Because God was yesterday, today, and tomorrow the same. Jesus Christ is God's way of providing salvation to the Jews as well as to the Gentiles. Not just to one part of the world, but to all parts of the world. There is a vital connection that Paul is compelling that the Jewish people in Thessalonica, in Berea, and in Corinth, in Ephesus, and so on. That there is a vital connection between their faith and their life. There is a vital connection between law and their understanding of salvation. And there is a vital connection between yesterday and today and tomorrow. And I hope your faith is like that. It's not just yesterday's faith. It's not just today's living faith. But it's also your faith for tomorrow. So when you went on, one of these days, you will be as old as me. And you'll catch up with me, right? And then I hope you will have the assurance that you went on to be with the Lord forever. And we will meet when that day comes. Therefore, the founding of the church in Thessalonica was because of Paul was able to reach them with the word of God, pointing out to them there is a vital connection between yesterday's law that God has given to them in the wilderness and the living today in God's presence. He found that the response to his preaching was so good, they found the church in Thessalonica. We were there. And do you believe, do you know that more than 98% of the city are still Christians? And a city of more than 2.5 million. And so churches are everywhere. Many streets have more than one church in one corner. Beautiful churches are born and built and kept. And some churches have about 800 years or 900 years of continuation without interruption. Although the Christians over there is called the Orthodox people. And most of you are trained in the Latin type of Christian faith. And do you know Latin faith is focused on reason? Why the Greek type of Christian focus on devotion? And actually, Christian faith is not just reason alone, not just devotion alone, but it's reason with devotion. So if you found yourself only talking about book knowledge, then I challenge you to be a true Christian Christ follower. You have to have more than just the book knowledge. You need to have both the heart knowledge, the head knowledge, to be a true Christian of Jesus Christ. So when Paul found this church in Thessalonica, he provided them with a new, it's not really new, but an enlarged vision of who God is. Back in Genesis, when God called Abraham, God asked him to be a blessing to all people. See, God did not say, keep the blessing to yourself and you'll be blessed. But rather, you be blessed, so you will bless other nations. And I hope you think, you know that the vital connection between blessing and bless is that Jesus Christ. And so when Paul did that to the city of Thessalonica, you would think that the city will welcome him, would give him an honor, right? It's not true. I still remember when my church in San Francisco, which I pastored for 36 years, in that 24 year when we finally broke loose. What I mean is that we were a little church and we wanted to find a bigger facility. We bought a big building. What big building? The San Francisco School of Ballet. When we brought that building, what happened? The city mayor thought we were so courageous because our Chinese and English and Vietnamese three congregations come together. We really was able to do something beyond imagination. We brought the big traditional school of ballet. So the mayor, then Diane Feinstein, sent us a great big plaque, declared April 22nd, 1984, the Golden Gate Church Day for the city and county of San Francisco. And he presented in our dedication service, which was our great surprise. We didn't think a Jewish mayor, Diane is a Jewish person, would honor a Chinese church. And we'll bring this to her special representative to bring up about that kind of time. Peter said, mate, the city of Thessalonica did not welcome Paul the way they should. Instead, what did the Bible tell us? Do you remember? They started a big riot. The welcome was a riot and tried to drive him out of the city. And he did. And then he went on to Berea. And then went on to Rome, Corinth. That is how your transformation sometimes receives. Instead of a joyful welcome, you got a hostile antagonism. I don't know if you have found that true in your school, in your workplace, in your association. If people ever found you a genuine Christian, I don't know what kind of reception you will be. By the way, if your faith did not receive reaction, there's something wrong with your faith. You know that? You are not a light to the world. You did not become a salt to a world that needs Jesus. Then I would ask you again, ask yourself, am I a true Christian of Jesus Christ? If you look at chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you see how Paul received the opposition. And you see how first they were trying to anti-Paul. Then they stone Paul. And then they drive Paul. And they start riot. And now in 17, they not only drove him out, they even gave a legal reason that they pledged allegiance to Caesar, whom they never did want to pledge allegiance to Caesar. And they even praised him for his good doing by driving Paul out of the city. Brothers, Christian faith has long been a faith that has rested in the minority and invited persecution from all of us. We were in China, my wife and I, touring China, visiting churches. Not only the house church received persecution, even the three self church, so-called government sanctioned church, also has been receiving that kind of persecution. In your prayer, I hope you have been praying for the Chinese Christians in China, because definitely they have a lot of problems. But then, it's not just a connection with one another, but also the vital connection they had introduced to Jesus Christ brings about a transformation in their life. The word transformation is taken from the second verse of Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, being transformed and renewed in the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. When a church is transformed, there is power, there is dynamics, and there is also a new vision for tomorrow. When a church is not transformed, then has doing things just like yesterday, then it's not going to be a vital church. A vital, connected church is a transformed church. So in verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 Thessalonica, it gave us a very good idea of what transformation is all about. It says, I praise you. That's not what the first Thessalonica is talking about. Thessalonica says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church in Thessalonica, in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and peace to you. Now, don't think those are easy words. Those are difficult words. First of all, he says, peace and grace to you, oftentimes in all the letters that he wrote. Peace and grace, or grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too often within the church of Jesus Christ, you don't see gracefulness. You don't see peacefulness. You see competition. You see strife. You see individualism at work. But Jesus Christ wants us to think connectedly, not to think individually. Even though individual salvation is received individually, but you need to think in terms of your connection with Jesus Christ. We don't achieve salvation by our own merit. This gracious offer that Jesus Christ has given to us on the cross. So the cross reminds me, at least, is vertical relationship as well as a horizontal relationship. There's a tremendous relationship between God, Jesus Christ, and me. But there's also a relationship between me and my fellow Christians. Any church, just think of one thought of ministry, is soon will be swallowed up by satanic and their power. Because any thought need to relate to another thought to form a line. From one line to another line, you form a sphere. From more than one sphere, you have a body. The Chinese painting in the ancient times is not too good, because the Chinese painting has always two dimensions. Dot and line, and very little bodies to it. And I hope we today know what a body is all about, the connection is all about. Do not think without thinking through the connection that we are in the body of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12 are such an important passage we need to think through. You know why? Paul here says, we thank God, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Now, the word is plural. We continue to remember before God and Father your work first produced by faith, your labor person, your, my goodness, my eyes just can't see too well. Your labor of love, your work produced by faith, your labor promoted by love, and then your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope in your Bible it reads the same thing, is it? Oh. You see, the transformation connection is connection is very vital for the expansion of Jesus Christ, because in this verse alone, when I was read to you, the connection between God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit is mentioned. Not only is the salvation by Jesus Christ died on the cross, but it's God who designed it and sent His Son, and is continual to move us to understand the Holy God will through the Holy Spirit. So God the Son, Father, God the Son, God the Spirit forms a vital connection. We call it Trinity. And that's why belief in Christian faith is such a beautiful thing. It's both reasonable, presentable, at the same time, it's still a mystery. I hope you understand today in our worship, it's both reasonable and yet sometimes we have to say there's something beyond reason. That's why Carl Sagan, some of you know him, the important scholar who just passed not too long ago, understand a lot about the universe. And he comes close to say, there's something beyond me, and I do not understand, I could not calculate. It's designed by God. That's why some scientists today call it intellectual design. In intellect, someone, somewhere, has the design, has the world does not come by itself in this way. A vital connection between God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a message that Christian Church throughout the century is presenting, sometimes presented in a different way, but it's never new. It's always the same. Besides, the connection between faith, hope, and love is such a connecting thing. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Therefore, you see, Paul understands the vital connection. And he uses the vital connection. Not only this, you see the example of him. When you read the first verse of 1 Corinthians, you see the connection? He says, Paul, Timothy, and who else? Silas. Isn't it? It's interesting. Isn't it sufficient for Paul to say, I, Paul, the special designed apostle for Jesus Christ, tell you this because I have a special commission to do this. Instead, he directs the little young people whose name is Timothy. He dragged another, a new minister whose name is Silas. He took all three of them and said, Paul, Timothy, Silas, greeting all you saints, all you church of Jesus Christ. You know what I see? I see the connection between a team to a team. I see the connection between a group to a group. I see the connection of the whole body of Jesus Christ at work. The dynamics of Christian faith is not an isolated thought. It's a body that's at work. So when you see this, you should be thankful that Paul, he understands how this relates to his faith. Because when he meets opposition, he understands he will be supported by other Christians who are praying for him. So when later on in chapter 18, when he went to Berea, he was 17, and he needed more of God's presence. May God help you and me to see is more than just individual at work for the Church of Jesus Christ. It is a team that helps out another team to work out for Jesus Christ. Besides that, it tells us not only the team is at work, but also the beginning of the spreading of the gospel is spread by the team. Not only the team is being opposed, but the team is also being sent on to do the work together. That's why he says our message is connected. Not only God, the Father, Son, Spirit gave us the message, but also the message itself is connected. Faith, hope, and love is connected. With faith, then you have love. Your love is produced, defined, related to your faith. And then your faith produces that love, and the love will bring about the future hope. I'm not going to dwell too heavily on the area of faith, because I'm sure you've been taught a number of lessons on the content of faith. You also remember Hebrews chapter 11 talk about heroes of faith, right? And I'm sure you know the reason for faith, and you see the logic of faith. And also, I'm sure you've been taught about the love connection. We just came through the church retreat, right? The last retreat, the Chinese section, have Dr. Huang spoke to us. Every five messages all related to the love. So faith, love, has so often been taught and transmitted. But will that produce hope? I hope it does. I hope you have hope in you, in your life. You don't have hope? I hope you do. I hope your faith in Jesus Christ is in such a way that everything else seems to be hopeless. Your God who brings you the answer is your last hope. Have any one of you failed in your class? You did? At that time, do you feel hopeless? You do. By the way, my wife went to a college that's called Hope. And I went to the school next to her, it's called Calvin, that's where we met. We always joke and said, if you didn't make Calvin, you can always have hope. But if you don't make hope, you're hopeless. And that's making fun of her school. But nevertheless, we're never hopeless. Some of us are wired so good that you know how to take tests. So your final and your tests always bring you A's. But some of us is just never that good. Somehow so easy, the answer. We know it, but we always fail to pick the wrong choice. And so, we don't score that well. But does that make you a second-rate citizen? Just because you don't make the grade, so you're second-rate or third-rate and fourth-rate? I hope you don't have that kind of hope only in the grade point average. Now, that I hope you don't take me wrong saying, you guys don't think I would study hard. If you've done your best and you don't score well, ask God to give you a better grade next time. But but don't dangle yourself and don't study and then hoping God will give you the right choice in the exam time. We have hope in Jesus Christ. At work, in school, in the society, we may not score that well, but it does not make us second-rate citizens, because Jesus Christ can make you and make me to be a different person. Do you know, have you ever heard the name from Marian Anderson? It's a flying angel, her name is. She was born in Sweden in a diplomat's home. She would come out without two limbs, no hands. Okay, but the parents raised her. She had 2 feet, but not, they're not together. One long, the other short. So you can see what an individual that has no hand and is walking like that. Marin, she's now in Taiwan. She not only spoke Swedish, English, Taiwanese, Mandarin, she can also now learn manage some Cantonese. When she was about 3 years old, one day she fell down and she cried on the floor. She had no hands to lift herself up. Her mother looked at her. Needless to say, you expect her mother to come quickly, yank her out from where she was. Instead, she calmly, compassionately said to her, Marianne, you know, you will grow up this way. You have to find a way to get yourself up, because I cannot be with you every day. Now find some way to get up. In tears, she got herself back up into a walk, gradually support herself and get up. But that taught her a self-determination of using her toes to do what our hands can do. You just think, you know, you eat with your toe, and you play musical instrument with your toes, and you greet people with your feet. There was one time when she went out with some young people, and she learned from, she was in Taiwan. So she tries to pass food to this gentleman. You know, some gentleman is not that gentle. They say, I don't want your food. I mean, your foot, not your food. But recently, she becomes such an inspiration to thousands of people, both in U.S. as well as in Taiwan. And Hong Kong too, for that matter. Because now if she goes up to stage and sings, just her presence alone is an inspiration of someone who overcame handicap. I don't know how many handicaps you can name in her life. She has all the handicaps that you can name, but she sang beautifully and she gave testimony to the glory of God. In other words, your vital connection with Jesus Christ will allow you to go beyond the limitation of life and become useful and to bring about the glory of God. So, the vital connection will bring a transformed life, and that's why Paul says, you guys imitate us. You have mimicked the way, because we live through persecution. You too was able to live through persecution. And you also bring, the verse 6, you are able to persevere and find joy in doing so. An authentic, transformed life is able to bring beauty to the name of Jesus Christ. Because they have received God's word with joy. Because they have received God's word with appreciation. You see, the income of God's word is an outcome of a changed life. Think of it. When you have the good income of God's word, then you will have a good outcome of a changed life. Therefore, the vital connection brings about the core value of the church. The church has a core value. What's its core value? I said a while ago, it's between faith, love, and hope. Or faith, hope, and love. Their faith is able to change them, turning from idol to a living God. Now, in those days, Greek idols, the idols of worshipping idolatry and illicit sexual relationship. I don't care whether it is Greek idol or Roman idol or Thessalonian idol. Idol is an idol. Even though American idol is being worshipped. And I hope you young people think through beyond American idols. Whenever I see that program, American Idols being chased by many, I wonder how could people have so gung-ho on American Idol. You see, idol is something and someone turn their entire attention into somebody in the replacement of the highest God. Their value dwell in idols then is very unfortunate. I pray that your heart is not full of all kinds of idols, be it as electronic gadget, or musical accomplishment, or intellectual achievement. I pray that your heart can turn like Thessalonians, turn from idols to a living God. Many a times, the element of faith will not produce love. But in their life, there is a love that we produce. And also, the love bring about hope. And the hope becomes a challenge for the Church of Jesus Christ. And because of this eternal hope, they are also virtually connected with which is eternal. They have vitally related to the eternal God so that they know that whether they're living or they're passing, or by the way, the word dead can be spelled out as passing. Whether they're living or they're dead, or they're living or they're passing, they will be with the living God wherever He is. In conclusion, I hope you know you are a young church. Nobody here is older than me, nor my wife, except maybe your grandparents. But I hope that you, as a young church, will find that vital connection becomes real in your life. That you will drive forward with that connection, not just on your own power, not just on your own strength, not just on your own achievement, but God who is living God in you. You may be small today, but your transformed life will make a big difference in wherever you're going to be. Whether it's in the big city of Big Apple, New York, or the big state in California, you will challenge present world to turn their life from idol to the living God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you taught us through the example of Paul and his associates that in vitally related to the living God, they also challenge each other to be vitally related to one another. We pray that your living faith bring about the transformation, both here and for tomorrow. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.